Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now, you're very welcome along. We're hoping this is a very special Monday Night Rugby. Before there was O'Gara versus Sexton, there was Humphreys versus O'Gara. And in a moment, we'll have David Humphreys with us. And in the meantime, we have Ronan O'Gara from La Rochelle. Good evening.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
How you doing? How goes week two, three, whatever week you're into of this?
Yeah, yesterday was a difficult day, I think, the first. Most difficult day, I think, in terms of just missing sport. But I think once it was Monday, we kind of had the school books back on the table this morning. So we managed to sit them down for 20 minutes, get maybe 20 minutes of school work done. And then a change in the weather, which makes it more difficult. The last 2 weeks were brilliant in terms of weather-wise. So once you can go outdoor with kids, it changes. But indoors, it's tough. Hopefully just another 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and may get back training then. Little murmurings of that, but have to remain positive.
Yes, absolutely. I don't want to alarm you, but it looks as if someone's attacked your hair.
Yes, I am. You don't want to alarm me. You should see my son's. I went at him first.
Well, I'd hate to see his.
Yeah, exactly. His mother wouldn't let him go on national. Well, it's nearly TV at this stage. But that's what happens. I think after day 13, you become a little bit crazy. And I was quite happy with it. I wanted to get more off, but I think I'm 43 now. My wife reminded me, so I don't do pre-season, even though the feeling around here is that you're fighting a war, and in the words of Macron. But hopefully people now, it seems Ireland are doing a brilliant job, and the curve has been hugely flattened. So it's not like that in France, though. I think from the figures, it seems to be nowhere near that. So we could be here for an awful lot longer.
Yes, unfortunately. So, well, we wish you well throughout it all, obviously. David Humphreys, I'm told, is on the line. You're there, David?
Good evening, Joe.
Thanks very much for joining us. So we just talking to Ronan there. He's in La Rochelle. Are you in Gloucester area, or are you back in Belfast?
No, we're still in Cheltenham. I was just listening to Rog talking about the weather. We've had a nice week as well. But unfortunately, it's been locked up at home. Slightly different to Rog. My children are a little bit older. I'm not sure that makes it any easier, but we're getting used to a very different way of life.
Yes, I think we're all getting on board with that at the moment. It's taken a bit of time. So listen, the point of this chat, really, I don't remember seeing you two interviewed about your rivalry together on the airways before, so we wanted to
don't get feel too it. Sorry for Humps, Joe. He'd have 10 acres, 10 thoroughbreds, plenty of vast lands to go gallivanting in his big, massive...
I just wondered how long it would take for Rog to start giving me some abuse. So it obviously hasn't taken too long, Joe, so he's much more used to it than I am.
Well, we wanted to get inside it because I don't know if you know this, David, but Ronan, when Johnny Sexton came on the scene, was very generous and accommodating and you know, tried to help along the young apprentice. So I wanted to see how it was the other end when you were seeing him come through.
Oh, goodness, it is a long time ago now. Look, I was just... whenever I was asked to come and chat to Rog, obviously the first real, not rivalry, but the first time I was aware of young players coming through the system, and you always look at players in your position, but I think based on Munster's emergence really from 2000 onwards and with Rog and that young group of players really driving it, they brought a huge amount alongside the Leinster success, which came a little bit later, to the Irish team. I've been part of an Irish team that had been, well, wholly unsuccessful, really, for a number of years. And I think we were all, at that time, just delighted to see a young crop of players coming through who we all knew were going to be top, top quality international players. And it took some time, obviously. I loved my time playing for Ireland. But you know, at any stage in your career, there's always going to be somebody coming along who's going to be better than you are. And in that case, it was Rog.
And just to jog people's memories, obviously we're familiar with Ronan coming through at Munster in the late 90s. You had been over at London Irish for, I think, 3 years and then came back to Ulster in 98. And obviously there's the European Cup success. So things are going very well for you. From an Irish jersey number 10 point of view, David, Eric Elwood was still on the scene, so it wasn't like there was a nailed-on number 10 necessarily in that period, the way it subsequently happened with Ronan and then Johnny Sexton. You were always in a bit of a fight with someone.
I think you might just say I was never quite good enough to nail down that jersey, but at that stage, Eric Elwood was there. You're right. Paul Burke was playing regularly in England and played for Ireland for a number of years. He went to the 95 World Cup. So, it was always a case of... you know, you were competing with someone, and you know, really, from my point of view, as I said, I loved playing for Ireland, but I came probably from that last generation of players who had experienced the amateur game. I played 6 years of university rugby by that stage, and the trying to probably a slightly different mindset to players who were coming in. And Rog had gone through university, but also had really had ambitions to be part of an international squad, really, a professional squad from when he burst onto the scene. So I was that last group who probably had a slightly different outlook, in that I saw Ireland as very much a bonus for me. I missed an opportunity in about 1992, which is a lifetime ago, to nail down a spot, and Eric had come in, as you said, and I probably felt that my time as a or my opportunity to play international rugby had passed, and then it came along a little bit later again. And as I said, thoroughly enjoyed it, but I thoroughly enjoyed those 2000s, even though I wasn't a starter or a regular starter. I thoroughly enjoyed the 2000s and being part of what I said was that very, very successful generation of Irish players who competed at the top, and you know, really since then have, you know, as the rankings and everything else have been one of the best teams in world rugby.
And a last question, David, and I'll bring in Ronan then. How early on, so you know, you're winning a European Cup in 99 and you're back and playing well at Ulster and maybe starting to get the better of the Elwood rivalry. How early on do you think to yourself, oh, this O'Gara lad down in Munster, he's going to cause me a bit of bother?
Pretty early on, and probably in the, because Munster had been going so well in around late 1999, early 2000, I think Rog, correct me if I'm wrong, Rog was due to be selected to play in the first game of the Six Nations in 2000 against England.
It was the best thing that ever happened.
We were getting beaten by 50 points. About 20 minutes into the second half, I was put to fullback. And I just remember thinking, I only wish O'Gara had been fit to be here rather than me. So that was probably the first time that I wished he was.
And do you know, Humphs who injured me?
No.
Elwood, I was holding a tackle bag at ALSA. Remember, we was training at the airport.
Yeah.
And I was holding a tackle bag, and I obviously wasn't holding it correctly. He absolutely chopped me at the knee, medial ligament gone. And I remember going back to the hotel and shocks of the doc, and he was there. Oh, we'll be able to inject that. That'll be fine. It was like people that have had medial ligament injuries. It feels like your lower leg is disconnected, especially if you're trying to be a kicker. I was always strapped it up. You'll be fine. But no, it was one of the most enjoyable afternoons ever watching on the couch.
funny sort of way. Rog then came back in for the Scottish game. But that was probably one of the most enjoyable Six Nations that I experienced. We played some really good rugby. I came off the bench a couple of times.
And brilliantly.
Ultimately, that last game against Wales probably cost us, if not the championship, I can't remember exactly, but we were certainly in the running for the championship, and then England lost to Scotland the next day.
I had a look from 2000 to 2003 World Cup, when this thing was really alive between you two. And Ronan, I know you had a few injuries, I was reading in the midst of it all, which I hadn't quite remembered, but of the 23 games between 2000 and 2003, Rog, you only started 8 of them, actually. So at that stage, and maybe this tallies with your memory, I don't know, Ronan, but at that stage, in those 2 or 3 years from your debut to the 03 World Cup, David Humphreys was definitely like slightly more in possession of that jersey, and you were, I suppose, gnawing at his ankles a little bit. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, big time, yeah, it was, because he was... As some said, it was there was even back then there was a really good team spirit. You know, fellas like Woody, Claw, Golov, Paddy Johns, a lot of really experienced players. So especially at out half, we all know experience is key. So Humps was there, but I think people forget I was competing against the guy. So Munster played on a Saturday, but Ulster played on a Friday night. So from my point of view, it was a disaster, basically, because my direct opponent got a first crack at a Friday night. And I can remember playing a European Cup game on a Saturday. And I had missed, I was either getting a rubber or I was getting physio. And we were staying in the Clarion on the Friday night in Limerick before the game. So Ulster was playing, but all the lads were being kind of keeping an eye on how Leinster would go. So Leinster wouldn't play on a Friday night, they'd play on a Saturday, because most of their direct opponents would be from Leinster getting into the Irish team, because back then at 1-9 or 1-10 was nearly from Munster. So, geez, I can remember one game in particular, the smile on everyone's face, all my teammates. And I said, what happened? And he says, Hump's just got 37 points. I can remember Quinny and Axel and Golov, they thought it was the best thing ever that ever happened. So, you know, how do you face into a game after that? You're a young kid, and everyone, you talk to your dad. Ulster went well, yeah, they did, and Humps was on fire, you know. But
so Quinny and the lads are smiling big grins. Humphreys is after kicking a bucket load of points.
No, it's more. You can't kick 37. He's an all-round game.
Well, okay. But so, how do you react when the lads are all smiling? Do you turn and get back up to your room, or do you pretend it doesn't bother you, or?
You're burning up inside, because like Humps has said it there, I think there was a little bit of a change in mindset probably from, O'Driscoll going into that team probably before me. I was kind of number 31 of 30 for the 99 World Cup. They brought five props and they brought two out halves. Ever since that, they've kind of gone with three out halves. So I was on the fringes and I got to train with Conor O'Shea and Johnny Bell and these guys, but I think there was a different mindset most definitely after that. But like when a fella is playing like that, there's not much you can do. And as you said, from 2000 to 2003, Humps was in the driving seat, no doubt about it.
And you're serious when you say you'd ring your dad?
Of course, because sure, like sports psychology is all the rage nowadays, but back then it really wasn't, Joe. It was, battery low. I think you just kind of seek out, obviously, a great relationship with my dad, so you'd seek out and see, you know, you just concentrate on your game, but sure, what can you do? You have to tip of a hat to a guy when it's like that. But I remember in 2003, a lot of the guys got sent home after playing Australia. There was kind of an optional, and the kind of fellas on the fringes, and the second team went on to play Tonga and Samoa, and it was one of the best tours we ever had. Just in terms of camaraderie, because the level would have been a little bit different and wouldn't have been as high, but like to get to experience a week in Tonga, no air conditioning in any hotel, a hotel under construction, then going to play Samoa, absolutely really incredible, really difficult conditions. It was a game actually in which I called a five-man line-out at the last minute, and it was actually the 2 redheads had to get off the pitch with dehydration and sunstroke in Anthony Horgan and Johnny Bell. But I remember calling a five-man line-out for Eric Miller, and he literally got to the stage, he was delusional, he started bawling, crying, I can't do this, because it was just so hard. But, you know, I think those kind of tours, it was, the Irish team was so tight and so mentally tough, but we had great stones. We used train, and it was we had a fantastic, I remember the Wednesdays, myself and Humps and Ralla, the highlight basically, we'd kick, and the pitch was nothing like a surface of an international pitch. You know, I mean, the foot would give way, there was a howling wind, but Humps just drive in and take control of the van and put Ral actually in the dark in the back with the cones in the back and the kit and the tackling pads, and all of a sudden 15 minutes later we got back and Ral is as white as a ghost. But they're the things that you remember. You don't remember too many of the games, because I think as we get a bit older, you get a bit more sentimental.
And David, so, you know, Ronan's talking there about keeping an eye on what you were doing up in Ulster on those European weekends. When you were walking off the pitch after kicking the and scoring the 37 points, would it cross your mind across that weekend? That's, you know, that'll send a message. You know, did you feel you were in that parallel battle with Ronan?
We knew the whole way through that time it was a battle, and, you know, not quite week to week, but it was more, I think, the big difference that I felt, or let me answer it a different way. Yeah, you asked about the rivalry early on. I probably didn't feel it as strongly because I just desperately wanted to be part of a successful Ireland team. And those stories that Roger's just told about with Rala kicking, as a number 10, you spend a huge amount of time in those individual skills working it. And you can make it as difficult as you want to, but if you want the team to be better, you know, both Roger and I got on pretty well from the start. There were our moments, of course. And
Tell us about the moments.
Joe, you just love these thoughts.
I want to know about the moments. I know about you and Sexton not talking in the car on the way to kicking practice. I want to know about your moments.
they weren't like that. I can tell you there was never a moment as bad as that. But there were times in games where we were both, you know, whether it was also for Ulster, Munster, where, you know, you just got stuck in. I remember once, Roger, down in Cork, where you and Wardy were having a ding-dong with each other as well. And it's just, you know, it's for me, it was more, honestly, a case of, I wanted that Ireland team to be successful. I knew that Ronan was going to have a much, much longer career than I was. It was a case of me trying to hang in there for as long as possible. I loved every minute of it. But I think the big difference ultimately that came down to, I always felt every time I pulled on an Ulster jersey, I felt very confident that I could deliver and perform at that level. I don't believe that I had the self-confidence that Roger had. That's a huge compliment to him, that self-confidence that when I pulled on an Irish jersey, that I could perform at that same level and compete at that same level. And I think, as Rod said, the change of mindset, that was the single biggest thing for so many of those players who came through in that generation. They had that belief that playing for, when they played for Munster, they were winning all the time. They played for Leinster, they were winning all the time. And that's ultimately what transformed that Ireland team. And like, as I said, I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed being part of it. I enjoyed playing a small role occasionally. And, you know, I look back on those days and, you know, lots of those times that we were out kicking. And, you know, that's one of the big enjoyment of being a professional sportsman.
Yes. Roger, by the way, if you can wave at someone to give you a charger for your phone, because I don't want it to go off in the middle of the conversation, let's do that. David, I'm surprised you say that, because, you know, I always thought you came on with great confidence. You kicked incredibly well. And so often, even if you came off the bench in that period, I can vividly remember you having big impacts on games. So you certainly looked like you belonged at that level.
Well, it was more a case, I think, when you come off the bench, it's a very, and certainly as a number 10, it's a very different mindset to approach a game. If you know you're starting on the Tuesday and you're building yourself up for it, and the pressure that comes with that, and organising the team, running a team, whether it's goal kicking, compared to coming off the bench when you've got a feel for the game, you know there's sometimes no pressure because the game's either won or it's not won. And I actually quite enjoyed coming off the bench. I didn't, like, towards the end of my career, it got to the stage where, you know, Rog hated coming off. And I remember two or three times, well, there was one in particular, I think it's St Mary's, Rog, when you and Eddie O'Sullivan went.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was after the Australian game, I think, Rog had been taken off. On the side of the pitch, we're all warming up. And Roger and Eddie O'Sullivan are almost yelling at each other on the sideline. And, you know, as he said, there's just no hiding place. The Munster boys are then, at that point, giving me plenty of stick. But it was a change of mindset more than anything else.
Ronan, David says there that the rivalry never kind of got toxic, or, you know, you weren't talking to each other kind of thing. Is that how you felt it was as well, that it was as close to a healthy rivalry as you could realistically get?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was, I think it was, we both realised 2-1 doesn't go, but I think, as David said, you obviously working with a guy, kicker, spend an awful lot of time with each other, and you can make that session a valuable session, or else you can kind of do your own thing. But, like, the best kicking sessions are done in pairs, so you do a lot of punting together, and then you finish up a goal kicking, and then you become competitive with each other. And I think, we brought really spiraled the ball really well to each other at times, and we had a great, great kicking sessions. But it was, there was definitely days, you know, I think well, it was more probably me with Nigel, but Humps is a competitor too. I wouldn't underestimate his drive as well. You know, I think he's been humble as always with this, but like it was huge at the time because we could feel that there was probably a little bit of a turning in the team and that there was a chance to actually do stuff. So I think, as two number 10s, it was, you know, I think the biggest thing is if you have a problem with David Humphreys, you're the problem. You know, so I think it doesn't take too much to work out who the issue would have been with. So it would have been with me, but I think it was you're just dying to play because it's very different landscape 2000 in Ireland, playing for Ireland. It was still a massive sport, but like there was massive excitement. You got to remember too that was our coach was 37, I think.
Yeah.
And so and some of that team it was player led as well.
I'm interested to get your thoughts on a very memorable time, the 03 World Cup. So at that stage, you're 32 years of age. David, you're still, you know, keeping Ronan at bay a little bit. So you started the game against Argentina and then Ronan came on in that game, kicked two penalties to win the game. And then Ronan, you started against Australia and France in the quarterfinal. I saw a quote from Eddie O'Sullivan the week of the Australia game. And he was saying to the media, I can honestly say at this moment, I don't know which of them will be wearing the number 10 jersey. There's so little between them, and it almost comes down to the toss of a coin. It's a decision which takes a lot of time to work out. We always leave it until the last moment, he said, when we have all the data in front of us. Ronan, how did Eddie handle that dynamic? Was he talking to you both a lot, or was he saying very little?
Sorry, to sum up our relationship, I think, which was really... I remember I had a story I was dying to tell. Mm. I think... what summed up myself and Humps, I think, literally every Tuesday morning for 3 years, the Tuesday before the test announcement. So usually go for breakfast at 8 o'clock. Okay, so out of respect for each other, because, you know, back then there was none of this kind of giving you a heads up on a Monday afternoon. It was literally you get a tap on the shoulder. So we got to the stage with each other kind of when you're just having your breakfast, smiling at each other and kind of going, so whoever started the last game, it would be kind of, so did you get a tap, Rog? Humps would say it to me or I'd say it to Humps because we'd kind of, it's respectful to make sure you go and he hears it from me first that he's starting. And it was always the case that if I was starting, Humps got it to me before a coach got to me, which I thought was was really good in the end. Yeah, so you kind of had a little bit of a 20 minute or an hour and 40 minute window to potentially text your folks in this week, out this week. But you know, I think you wouldn't have seen many others in the position probably, but ours, because all the other players too, you'd like to think were knew that they kind of whoever was playing 10, you're going to be well served. And as Hump said it, we were very, I suppose, all fair with coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, and both did it very well around that time. Your memories of 03 World Cup, David, and that kind of tussle there, was Eddie talking to you both a lot, or was it almost, you know, he wasn't renowned for arm around the shoulder by his own admission?
I don't remember a huge amount about the 2003 World Cup. The only thing that I do recall is that Argentinian game, because I'd been involved in the game in 1999 and North, I would say the build-up to that game, I'd probably been happy enough not to be selected and I say that with hindsight, because at the time, the pressure that having started the game, because we knew that, you know, we just couldn't lose the game, and it was tight and tense the whole way through. But I think we'd gone into that World Cup probably with a little bit more optimism based on some of the Six Nations performances than we certainly had in the previous World Cup. And we just never really got going. The game, obviously, that springs to mind for me was Australia. Rog started the game. I had come on. We actually had a couple of chances to win the game and didn't take it. And that, who knows, that might have changed the shape of the competition. But in terms of communication from Eddie, I think Declan Kidney was there as well. And perhaps Declan might have been the one who was communicating a little bit more than Eddie.
Right.
Yeah, and it could have changed. Like, you talk about that because I think if we'd beaten Australia, and it was most definitely because we probably as a group didn't talk enough about beating up Australia in 2003 because it was bonus territory, which is awful, really. But, you know, I mean, a drop goal or a try and you beat Australia, I think you're playing Scotland in a quarter final of a World Cup.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Very much so.
It is, yeah. Ronan, so you went through a period where you had the rivalry with David and then later Johnny Sexton, and you had this period in the middle where you pretty much knew you were the starting number 10. I'm curious, seeing as you've done both, what got the best rugby out of you?
Oh, that's a quick summation, Joe, but it felt that the time flew, but at the same time that it felt, you can kind of look back at it very differently. I think, as Hum said, for me, you want to play for Ireland. That's all you ever dream of, because it was 101 best tries and playing for Ireland and different mindset growing up. Then you want to get the 5 caps. Then you want to be, you know, getting to 20 caps. Then you want to try and be the best in Europe. Then you want to try and be the best in the world. Then you want to basically acknowledge that there's going to be a fight for your place now, but there wasn't for many a year, and you kind of hang on and get the most out of it you can at the end. I would say I think because of the environments that are the teams I was part of with Munster and Ireland, I kind of really learned self-drive at a young age. Right. The 2001 Lions tour for me was the biggest eye-opener I ever received in a two-month period.
Yeah.
I think the first, you know, I mean, I was rooming with my cat the first week in, what's the hotel in England called? Where did I stay, Humpson? Penny something, is it? Or
Penny Hill Park.
Yeah, Penny Hill Park. And literally, I got, you know, in bed at sleep at 7:30 every night, because at that stage you'd have had your 7 a.m. kicking session with Johnny Dunn, you'd have your lunchtime kicking session with Johnny Dunn, you'd have your post kicking session done with Johnny. So literally it was just survival of the fittest. And that was the biggest thing for me, yeah. Joe, I think, yeah. that tour, it kind of, you thought you were a good pro, but it completely reshaped your focus and your thinking on every front.
Yeah. Clock's coming against us. It's been fascinating to get a sense of the rivalry. Even that story of Tuesday mornings, did you get the nod? Did you get the nod, David? That suggests, you know, real respect there and, as I said, as good a rivalry as you could hope to have. So that kind of captures it, I think, as a final word from you.
Yeah, it does. As I said, from the moment that Rog was coming through, I knew that he would go on to be at the centre of Irish rugby for the next decade. And, you know, again, every team, every international team, almost every team in world rugby, you need two number 10s who can play, because there's going to be injuries, there's going to be loss of form. And, you know, almost to say that, having been involved in that rivalry with Rog and seen him develop into the player that he was then to dominate, really, along with Brian and Paul, Irish rugby for the next decade, you know, his career tells a story of how good a player he was. And, you know, I as I said, I enjoyed being part of that. I enjoyed playing a role in Irish rugby during that period.
Ronan, you're right. This fella's far too classy.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, for me, what an age to learn off a great from. I think that was really important. I can remember my dad, I think he's a good judge of character and with humps. You know, he is a class act, but I think sometimes, what's that expression about a wolf in sheep's clothing? Is it, there's such a dogged competitor inside him, and he knows that. But he had the skills to back it up too. And I think he so advanced my game as well, because I knew at that stage I had to be really on the money, really on the money. And as you said, from 2000-2003,
yeah,
you know, it was probably advantage Humphreys. It's a great friendship that has survived the test of time, thankfully.
Excellent. Well, listen, fellas, we appreciate it. Ronan, thank you again for coming on this week. Peter Stringer last week, great to get you on again. And David Humphreys, much obliged. Thanks, David.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Joe. See you, Humps.
Bye-bye, George.
There you go. Bye-bye. Ronan O'Gara, David Humphreys on Monday Night Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. Team of Us, everyone in.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.